This is a 1960s technology. Now they have different sizes, small, medium, and large. They have some for pigs, goats, dogs. You can buy them in your veterinary store. These are the small ones. You see that's the tip of a guy's finger on the bottom. So that's like the technology, electronic technology. Okay, this is all obsolete. Nanotechnology is where it's at. They can make, they talk about implants. They don't have to do this stuff. If you want to implant a transponder in somebody, it's going to be the size of a molecule today. And it's going to be run on an energy source that'll last more than a human's lifetime. You'll be dead, your body will be decayed, and that thing will still be sending out the signals. You know? So nanotechnology is where it presently is at as far as those kinds of things. I'm real close. Okay. All right. And they're talking about putting it in teenagers, you know, with the idea of tracking them. And this is an interesting thing. This is Dr. Gwen Dean's comparison between thought reform on the left, which is a Lifton stuff, ritualized abuse in the middle, and abduction experiences on the right. And this is one of her earlier things. There's a bigger one I've got in the slides. We're going to skip it. But this gives you the essence of the thing. First, trivial demands enforced. In the middle one, it says must learn cult rules. And the third one is trivial demands enforced. In other words, what you're seeing in the phenomena, the experiences of these individuals that talk about government mind control or thought reform or ritualized abuse or abductions is the same thing. And, you know, hundreds of studies, hundreds of reports. Sydney, and it's back to the shrinks. Francis Crick, Nobel Prize, says he found a human soul. It's in the left, you know, neuron from the right in the left part of the brain. He's an idiot. But this is the problem with our science. These guys, he won the Nobel Prize. He discovered DNA, but he has no right to talk about the human soul. It's a theological question. Microwave harassment and mind control experimentation by Juliana McKinney. You're aware of her, I'm sure most of you are. And she was the, what was it called, the harassment program that is now defunct. Cheryl Welch and other folks. That's Ed White, who runs the Mind Control Forum. These people were on CNN and got a hatchet job when they came out, and of course they didn't find any signal. They came out with all this instrumentation to measure the environment, and they found all kinds of pollution in the environment, but it's the normal pollution, and of course it had nothing to do. The scientists said, no, we found no reason why these people should be complaining, like Ed is complaining here, of the sounds and the hurt and the pain and the perhaps voices in his head. And then, so that's, now you're being left, you know, try to tell somebody, you're hearing the voice in your head. They can't, every time you're making love to your husband, there's the voice telling you how to do it or how you're doing it wrong. Or the most intimate times in your life, there's a voice talking to you. When you're sleeping, there's voices talking to you, lights shining at you. 24 hours a day, year after year after year, you go to a doctor, he looks it up in this manual, you know, and he says, you're delusional. Or you're paranoid schizophrenic. There's only four basic things. Hearing voices is four times in there, basically. So all those things, but it doesn't work. And then they give you a drug and suppress the symptoms. And what does that do? You know about the radiation experiments. A lot of the mind control victims were used in the radiation experiments. Many of them have Graves' disease, lost their thyroids, and because mind control victims don't talk, or they can be stopped from talking, so they were using them. At the end of the, you know, in the President's Commission on the Radiation thing, Transplant Trial, Alan Shefflin's book, they don't believe in hypnosis, so you can't be made to do something against your will in a court of law. They just don't recognize anybody that's ever had hypnosis is discredited as a witness, which is, you know, it's like a bunch of simpletons. Multiple personality disorder and criminal responsibility. Very important document written by a UCLA law professor. You can't read it. Ellen, what's her name? Sachs, S-A-K-S. You need that. You need to read that. It's a long thing. It's a long 30 or 40 page. Yes?
DSM-4 has a new category called the Options Book.
Oh,
and
yeah?
There is something called Spiritual Problem.
Really?
It's the first time that the DSM people, the committee,
Really?
Has acknowledged there's something called a spiritual problem.
Wow.
And what they're defining it as, they did it in four sentences, unfortunately. The proposal was 11 pages.
Uh-huh.
And it was a miracle that they accepted it. And what it's saying is when our previous religious, when our actual spiritual experiences that are going on right now are not in alignment with our previous religious experience. And I would advise people, if they are going to go see somebody in the medical field, to refer to that.
Great, great. Thank you very much. This is Robert Moody and his brother. It looked like twins. This man's on death row right now. I'm his only link to the outside world. He's diagnosed, the guy with his back to you, he's diagnosed multiple personality disorder, DID. I worked with him before he could even get that diagnosis because the alien voices in his mind told him to do choo-choo train on the test. So he would do true, true, false, true, true, false, choo, choo, choo. And they couldn't get any proof, you know, they couldn't get any, all of his tests. Psychiatrists are whores. They got up there and said, you know, he's malingering, the judge. And that, but they said, a couple of them said, you better rule out dissociative identity, this, that, and the other thing. Well, the judge said, I'm not going to rule out. They put him in the nut house for 6 months and they couldn't do anything with him, you know. He came back 6 months later. They still didn't. He wasn't competent to stand trial. He wasn't sane at the time of the crime. And the whole thing about DID in the law has to be re-examined and restructured. Now, this is a guy, I began to work with him. That's Mary. That's probably Bob. You can see if you can see some of the changes here. If I go through it. You can do it in the film. You can really see it. This is still... That's the killer. That was the killer personality. His name is XE. He was programmed in the Marine Corps. He killed two women in Arizona that he's been convicted for. He's sentenced to die. After his appeals are exhausted, he has 4 appeals. Anybody want to write to him? He'd love to hear from you. This is Dr. Joyce Vesper, who, thanks to Colin Ross, we finally found a doctor in Arizona who knew. She's the Arizona director of the ISSDD, and she came forward, gave him 5 hours of tests, looked at 200 hours, sampled 200 hours of videotapes we'd taken of this guy turning into a little kid. When the Miranda warnings were read to Moody, he was a 9-year-old saying, I hurt my finger. I don't know how I hurt my finger. Didn't know his name. The reason they caught him is he turned himself in to this sheriff's department saying, run my fingerprints. I don't know who I am. He had a picture of a little girl in his pocket. That was his daughter. He didn't know who she was. He was in a amnestic fugue. It's just not justice. It's just, it's got to change because, you know, you can get hit in the head and something else can happen to you and suddenly you're on death row with amnesia. I mean, it's not the way to treat people. So they read the Miranda warnings to the 9-year-old. This is a novel by Michael Youssef, Youssef. The voice, and it's about the voice of Satan in a Christian, the guy's a Christian a theologian of some kind, a preacher or something, and we're talking about voices now. This is Dr. Deal's thing, and Dr. Sheldon Deal looked at Patrick Flanagan created a thing called a neurophone, which proves that you can implant, somebody can be deaf, their cochlea is taken out, and you can still here with this thing, and Nick Begich will tell you more about that, and you can order those things if you want. There are some incredible therapeutic effect to this thing, and that's what these papers are about that you can't read, but Dr. Deal did a study, because hearing people can hear the conscious sound, and then this thing kind of plays it to your bones, I guess, or through your bones, to the other, I think it's called a saccular, other part of your ear. Begich will explain it to you. It's pretty interesting. And I've known this guy for 30 years. He's a naturopath and a doctor of a holistic healing. He used to be a Mr. Arizona and stuff. Wonderful guy and a serious researcher. And, of course, Voices in the Head, Valis, very famous Philip K. Dick novel about a vast, it's called, Valis is an acronym for Vast Active Living System. And this is Jack Sarfatti's physics group talking about Valis and conscious computer spacecraft from the future, time travel and all that kind of thing, which is coming up very prominently in quantum physics. And of course now there's something called post-quantum physics, and there are subatomic particles called beables And you better familiarize yourself with that. In the 50s, it began the new science, and the University of Arizona is going to be the first university in America with a chair for this new science called cognitive science. It's the study of consciousness, and an interdisciplinary thing. This year, in April, you can all come. There's a conference discussing this. It's psychologists, psychiatrists, neurologists, cyberneticists, linguists, theologists, philosophers, all getting together talking about heavy on the computer thing. Artificial intelligence is very important. But it all started in the 50s. J.B. Rhine, Duke University, 50s, CIA project in extrasensory perception. They're the guys that invented, they use the card, the Zener cards, you know, that you saw in Ghostbusters. Very important studies. Denied by the CIA, they said, yeah, we spent so much money, nothing happened. Don't believe it. Now they admit, remote viewers even, that's pretty far out. You can astral project or whatever, out of your body experience, and that's what it used to be called. Now it's called controlled remote viewing, more acceptable. And of course, this is a good book. I like this book a lot. Morehouse, Dave Morehouse, seems like an honest guy, talking about his experience in the remote viewing thing. The CIA finally admitted it, but here it is in 1975 in a press release telling you all about it. So it's been known. So 1996, right? Last year, they admitted to it. Yeah, we did that. But then we didn't come up with anything when we studied all this. And they always say that. We did all this. And here's John Mack, thanks to Lanch. A little thing about John Mack at Harvard. He's the UFO guy, working with Lifton. And of course, there's John Shirley's picture. And you can't see what that is, but they're talking about hypnosis. And there was a serious study of alien aspect done at MIT. And one of the papers in here talks about, they found out that the so-called abductee community is highly dissociative. So the same thing that you're finding in ritual abuse, you're finding in mind control, you're finding in the alien abduction. And of course, for the first time now, people are beginning to say, abductees are beginning to say, yeah, I do remember there was a government guy standing around with those little gray things. And of course, how many survivors have been asked not to talk about their alien, quote, alien experiences? 3 years ago, I asked that question, and just about everyone that I could identify as a survivor raised their hand. They have been told not to talk about it because it discredits their credibility, because they're already telling pretty fantastic tales. But in fact, and then there are others, there's nobody talking about Laurie Lingenfelter's story. Or even Kathy O'Brien doesn't talk a lot about her NASA training. But Lingenfelter says that she was trained to be a hostage, quote, witness, especially hypnotically trained witness, on some kind of an alien ship in a swap deal. And it's incredible stories, but it's worth checking out. Here's Dr. Dean, who did the comparison accounts with ritual maltreatments and alien abduction, and this is Appendix E in Operation Mind Control, which is, you know, it goes on. You have to sit down and study it, but it's just amazing to me to find everybody talking about the same thing in little slightly different variations. You know? And Philip Corsall, on the 50th anniversary of the so-called Roswell thing, comes out and says, yeah, I was the guy that placed all this high technology into the R&D stream of the defense developers. And one thing, and he talks about the skin of the craft, the propulsion system. He talks about night vision goggles and stuff. And the one thing he doesn't talk about, he admits it, that was there were mind control devices on the ship, allegedly. But he doesn't talk about instituting them. And his movement away from that subject, just avoidance of that subject, is to me what gives credibility to this account. Because, you know, you wouldn't talk about it if you were using it the way it apparently is being used. And they had a headband that flew the craft and stuff, he says, you know. So, and then if you read the report from Iron Mountain, you realize that how to motivate an economy without war is a very difficult problem. Well, you know, so there's a green movement, you know, ecology movement we're going to do. Space exploration, a bottomless pit, you can sink a lot of money into that. But the best motivator is to pose an outside threat of alien invasion. So how are they doing? Only 55% don't believe in UFOs. In May, just past CNN poll, you know. And Are there visitors from space? 60% don't believe it. So they're not doing so well in planting that idea in our mind. Now, this is an implant. I don't know if you can see that. It used to be. But anyway, you can see that implant that comes from the UFO community is quite a bit different than the one we showed before that's actually in production. And you've got to read about physics, so you might as well start with Tim Allen. It's a pretty good book on basic physics, about quantum physics. He wrote a book on it. Michael Persing in neuroscience in Laurentian University is blindfolding people and putting automobile helmet with solenoids and playing magnetic waves over the temporal lobes. And 80% of the women, he claims, have temporal lobe epileptic experiences automatically, frequently, from time to time throughout their life. And he says that this guy was funded by the NSA. Oh, Mike. Who? By the Navy? The American Navy. He's a disinformation agent. Well, you know what he's doing, though? He's saying that UFOs are piezoelectrical phenomena from earthquakes. And he's saying that that's what... Yeah. But listen to what he's doing. But what he's really doing is he's demonstrating in this experiment, beyond question, that your consciousness can be altered and controlled at a distance without breaking your skin. Yeah. Well, it's transparent, though. It's very transparent in the research papers and his conclusions. His conclusions don't match his arguments. It's pretty obvious. But what he's demonstrating is that a person can be influenced by magnetic waves from a distance, remotely. That's amazing that he's standing out there doing that. So that's as far as I don't believe a word the guy says. So, Jacques Vallée is a science fiction writer. Okay, The Physics of Immortality, a must read. Frank Tepler, he says you can find God in the codes and stuff. It's great. Just a fun read. Redeems you. And this is a wonderful thing, hard to find, out of print. Elizabeth Rauscher, she worked with that fellow that just died, Andrija Puharich, for a while. And she's gotten a lot of government contracts. Electromagnetic phenomena and complex geometries and nonlinear phenomena, non-Hertzian waves and magnetic. You know this one? And magnetic monopoles. Have you read that? That's, write it down, because that's the important thing. And here's, look at this. The whole thing is there, the whole layout of the questions that you've got for can it be? Yes, it can be. It is. It can be, and it has been, and it is being. And then there's Rupert Sheldrake, and if you talk to the physicists, they don't pay any attention to him. He's non-scientific. He's only a biologist. Physicists say, we make the machines for the doctors. And we always put only two buttons on. One is off, and one is on. And that's all they can handle. So they don't consider doctors scientists, and biologists are doctors, like MDs, and they're not scientists according to physicists. But this is a very interesting idea, if you know about morphogenic fields. Just find out. I don't have time to get into it. It's great. These guys are a hoot, and they're on the internet. Jack Sarfatti, Paul Sirog, and Fred Allen Wolf, all of them write books and stuff. They're talking about superluminals, faster than light travel. And the answer to your questions about what's happening to me, including Carl Prebrum, he's a neurologist, he talks about DID, MPD on a subatomic level, and that's the only way to address the question. And it reads just like NLP, what he's talking about, the way that tunneling occurs, and it's pretty amazing. And so physics is where it's got to go. I don't have time. But if you want some real understanding of the mechanics of what is going on and what you're going to face in the future, because this new technology, once you've been targeted as a guinea pig, it's not going to stop until you stop it or we stop it. And PQM means post-quantum mechanics. That's the answer right there, the microtubule. When I first saw it, it was drawn by Dr. Stuart Hameroff in a scribbling way, and it's black and white, and it looked like yin and yang. And I said, wow, it's an on and off switch. One is one, one is zero. In the cytoskeleton of the DNA, which is that structure of your DNA, is made up of things that look like pomegranate pods, represented by the red and the blue. one is a plus one, and one is a zero, just like a program, just like a computer. They are programmable by a signal, but there's a back wave, back, like feedback phenomenon that's occurring. When you understand that, now we don't know what the signal is yet. They haven't decided what that is. What's the signal of consciousness? But this is where they're at. And this lies in this kind of thinking lies the answer to some of the things that people are thinking. Whether or not it's just a metaphorical paradigm shift that we're experiencing and anthropomorphizing and living out, or in fact, as I believe, somebody understands how to use that or they're dabbling with it. You know? Microtubules in the cytoskeleton of DNA. New World Vistas and a Space Power. You guys, some of you really know about this already. 13 volumes published by the Air Force. And you have to. They predict that within the next 50 years, and I think it's, you know, if they're saying this, that means they've already done it. Because they're saying, in the next 50 years, we're going to have a been there, done that learning technology. Did you ever see the Brainstorm? The movie Brainstorm? Yeah. Rent it, see it. That's what they're talking about. They've probably already got it. Whereas you wear a helmet, record your experience on some kind of medium, play it back to the other guy. The other guy has the taste, touch, smell, sound, sight of the other person as it's happening. Yeah, well, we ran that out. That's it. So that's the answer to me. That's what we have to do.